Going on, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the number one sports podcast in the Southeast Metro Detroit area. It's a big day for teeing it up with CNV. My name is Connor, as always, the C of CNV with the V himself. Vladdy, what's going on, man? Big episode today, March, arguably my favorite sporting event, or at least top two, is here upon us.
It's definitely the greatest, especially that first weekend where you've got 32 games in 2 days, then 16 more the next two. It's definitely the greatest kind of weekend and just cluster of like sensory overload trying to catch the end of four games simultaneously. I'm doing well though. Work's going pretty well. We have a short week, so I'm already halfway through what I need to do, and we're going to be going to the actual game, so we'll make a nice weekend out of this with friends. Other than that, I don't know. How are you?
I'm doing good. Like I said to you off air before we started or press record, a part of me has definitely mentally checked out. I got that senioritis. It's my last about like 6 weeks here of school. And yeah, I like don't even have anything to add off of that because I've been so mentally checked out. I just got off of my final spring break. I know I talked about that last weekend. I will never have another one again, which is a sad realization, but I'm also 25, so it was a good run. But I'm excited. This is one of my the almost what almost 3 years we've been doing this now. It's my favorite episode of the year, besides maybe the previews for the football season. This is where it gets nitty-gritty. It's all we're going to be talking about today. Like you said, there's how many games did you just say?
Well, there's 32 the first round,
48.
16 more
So 48 games to
in
talk
4 days.
about today. We're going to cover the full weekend and we'll get into obviously Sweet 16, Elite Eight next weekend when that happens. But we're going to break down every game today, give us our picks, our expert picks, because we're the ones with a podcast and you listening do not have one. Go ahead and start one. But yeah, I'm ready to get into it. I'm just so giddy just even talking about this
All
right
right.
now.
Well, before we get into the actual games, I actually wanted to start with some of the issues from the committee that they maybe not
Oh, good
created just
point.
because we know what they do, that they at the end of the day, they are a business. Every year we get told they make billions and billions and billions of dollars on this tournament, and you can't make billions and billions and billions of dollars if you don't mess around with numbers, fudge things around to increase the viewability, the storylines, and we'll get into some of those. Right off the rip, I think the way the ACC was handled is ridiculous. I think kind of from top to bottom, where I think it's hypocritical and you just created storylines to try and put the Tar Heel blue into the tournament. Louisville, who is ranked 13th in the AP poll and is playing in an awful ACC, if you give them an 8 seed, that's okay, actually. Believe it or not, it's okay. They did the same thing to Clemson. Clemson's ranked 10th in the AP poll, and obviously, the committee has never necessarily treated the polls as gospel. They have their little metrics and KenPoms and whatnot. But if you're going to punish Clemson and Louisville because they play in a bad conference, if you're going to punish Duke for being one of the few 1 seeds who kind of was consistently at the top, I'm looking at you, Auburn, and then failed to win their conference tournament in the postseason. You cannot turn around and reward UNC for going 1-12 in quad one games. You cannot turn around and reward UNC just because they have a fan base. There is no reason that the University of North Carolina should be in this tournament if Louisville is going to be an 8 and Clemson is going to be a 5. It's unacceptable.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think not only the 1-12 thing, but you look at some of the resumes of teams that got left out ahead of them specifically. I think it's West Virginia and
Yes.
Indiana specifically. Indiana does not have a quad three or four loss. North Carolina has one. Indiana's record, I believe, was 3-7 in the quad one games.
Sounds about right.
Much better. That includes a win at a 2 seed in Michigan State, North Carolina's best win. I want to say their only top 100 win. They don't have a ranked win. And I believe that quad one win was way back in November against, was it Kentucky? I can, I'm not mistaken, but that was in the non-conference that only quad one wins. So that was months ago. And obviously, the counter argument of what I heard for North Carolina is the eye test, and I do somewhat subscribe to that.
Which eye test? The one where you lose 13 games in one of the worst ACCs ever?
Yeah.
I'm not saying you make this
How
argument, but
about
which
the
eye
one
test?
that beat probably what I think is the best team in the country right, or almost beat the best team in the country right now, if not for some idiocy at the end of the game and taking a why am I blanking on what happened? The lane violation.
I must have missed the part where Cooper Flagg played 35 minutes in that game against him.
Yeah, okay. I no, I'm saying I actually don't agree with it. I'm just that's the
I
argument.
know, I know.
But yeah, it doesn't make sense. And to go down the line, I actually think there were some other ones that really didn't make sense either. And it's not just who got in or out.
Texas?
Some of the seedings just
Oh, we'll get to
I some
that.
of the seedings don't
I've
even
got
make
some notes on
sense.
that too.
Like I mean, we can go down the line and we could talk about them in the actual game, but like one of the first games we'll get to is Michigan. They were locked into that spot before they even played on Saturday, let alone Sunday. Picking up two quad one wins, third, I believe, in the third or fourth in the entire country in quad one wins, second in the second best conference in America, wins the tournament, and they get a five seed.
Well, so I don't want to stop your rant, but I said this in the lead up to friends in a little text chat, and we as Michigan State have been burned by this before. But the Big Ten has this fetish for being the last game on of the day and having their little CBS coverage go directly from the end of the game
So
and
I
do the
think that's
little
CBS though,
ceremony.
as opposed to the Big Ten.
I think it takes two to tango,
Sure.
but they have this fetish, oh, we're going to be the last ones, and then as soon as we're done with the confetti coming down, we're going straight to the studio and you're going to find out who's where. Well, that's fine if you want to do that. You want to be the curtain call on the postseason tournaments. That's fine, but then you can't expect the committee to come out with or to have 15 minutes to completely rearrange a bracket. You don't get
Yeah.
to have it both ways. And you are right. They are absolutely screwed, but this has always been that way. It's just it for the first time in a decade, it happened to Michigan, and we're gonna throw our hands in the air. I mean, I know this happened in 2019 to MSU. It happens every year. Some team goes on a run, and people are like, "Well, how'd they get a five seed? How? Why are they a six seed? They should be a four." And it's like, you're right, but you can't redo the entire bracket in 15 minutes, and that's just what you get if you want to be the last game on TV. Your game's not
Yeah.
gonna matter.
Yeah. And to even like, there's even less specific things though, in that say what you want about Auburn getting the number one overall seed. This will kind of segue into the first game of the tournament. Auburn will play the winner of St. Francis and Alabama State. Okay. But Auburn, they're going to get an away game in the round of 32 on Saturday. Having to play Louisville at Rupp Arena in Kentucky, that doesn't make sense to me.
Not if
If
you're
they're
the
going to
number
be,
one overall seed.
I don't even know if, yeah, it, them being the number one overall seed, I could argue isn't correct. I think they are probably from a full bodies of work takeaway, losing the last three out of four to end the season, the best team in the country. But what Florida did down the stretch is pretty hard to argue against.
Yeah.
Now we're just kind of nitpicking because after all, they all are one seeds, but Auburn will have no problem in this one. Are we, do you want to just go down the first round of games and then get into the second or talk
Can
about each?
I actually have a couple more gripes to talk about the committee. Just
Okay.
in the it'll be I'll make it quick. You
Yeah.
mentioned kind of the seeding versus the rankings, and obviously they don't it's not gospel for them, but some of the stuff is indefensible. 13th ranked Louisville is an eight seed. And I'm gonna read you off the last 10 13th ranked teams in the AP poll in where they were in the tournament. Three seed Illinois, four seed Virginia, four seed UCLA, three seed Texas, three seed Purdue, three seed Tennessee, four seed Purdue, five seed Purdue, three seed Iowa State, five seed Cincinnati, three seed Florida, three seed Georgetown. To turn around and make them an eight and deviate that far from anything you've ever done before is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I understand the ACC's fallen off a cliff. UNC, Virginia, Miami, Notre Dame, Syracuse, FSU to an extent. They're not what they were 5, 10 years ago. That's fine. But Louisville is what, 27-6?
I don't know their record offhand.
It's ridiculous. To make them an
Yeah.
eight is insane. You look around, obviously you mentioned the Michigan. You look at Clemson, who's 10th in the poll and gets a five. You have Arizona, who's one of the most up and down teams in the tournament. Yeah, I guess
Yeah.
they won a couple games in the Big 12 tournament against depleted schools, and they get a four seed out of it. They didn't even win their tournament.
I'd argue that's not even the worst four seed ranking of the bracket with Purdue, the way they've kind of stumbled into March
Yeah.
is I was very surprised to see them not only ahead of Oregon, who is aside from a solid loss against State on Friday, played good basketball to end the season, but let alone Michigan, who won the tournament. And I know that's kind of going down the road we just went, but yeah, I mean, I'll let you kind of finish your
Oh,
gripes here
yep.
with
The last
seeding.
things I was going to say is the random coincidence that we have Bill
Oh,
Self and
yeah.
John Calipari, and the winner
Right.
gets to play Rick Pitino in the Battle of the Godfathers. The it's just at the end of the day, like I said, it's a business. They know it's a business, and they're going to create random criteria and just throw random things at the wall, even though they don't believe it themselves, just because they know this will get us a couple extra viewers and this will make us a little bit more money. And you know what? Maybe I shouldn't be complaining because Michigan State's been the beneficiary of this a couple of times
Yes.
over the last 4 years, most notably 2021, where they were nowhere near a tournament team. And in
No.
order to protect Tom Izzo's streak, they said, you know what? You guys can go be in the play-in for shits and giggles.
I think they were two games above 500 that year.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure we tied the record for most amount of losses for a team that got ever it's ever gotten in.
Was in a shortened season.
Yeah. And I guess, I mean, to be fair, even last year where we all thought we were a
Yeah, I
bubble
was gonna say
team.
last
And
year.
then the thing flickered. It's like, here comes nine seed Michigan State. And it was like, how are we comfortably in? We didn't
Yeah.
beat anybody. But so yeah, maybe I shouldn't be complaining at that. I say let's thank you for listening to my rant. I think we can go into the games now.
Yeah. Do you want to go region by region or round by round?
I would say region by region.
Okay. So we'll start in the south, the upper left part of your bracket. Like I said, Auburn will play the winner of Alabama State and St. Francis. I don't see any issues there. I'll go down the first round for this bracket for me. Then the 8-9 seed, you have Louisville versus Creighton. Again, a home game for Louisville, although not really much travel either for Creighton, all told, and where they're at in the country. Creighton, a team for me, that Cockbrenner is still there somehow. It feels like there's a couple of names we'll mention that have been there forever. He's kind of a staple in the Big East. He's probably going to be the best player on the floor there. They have some nice wins down the stretch. They also, like we'll probably say with every Big East team, have some very poor losses. And Louisville plays in an arguably even less tested conference in the ACC this year and has struggled against better competition. I like Louisville. I got attracted by the fact that they have the better record, even though Creighton has the best player on the floor. And in a home game, yeah, albeit at their rival, I have Louisville over Creighton.
Interesting. I think I immediately disagree with you here. I took Creighton. You said the best player on the floor. I think Creighton is also kind of that classic, just vanilla ice cream 7 out of 10 team where you know what you're going to get from them. It's just, do they have enough talent to compete against whatever teams in front of them? They'll beat the teams they're better than and they'll lose to the teams they're worse than. That kind of seems like the Creighton special the last
Yeah.
couple of years. And maybe, like you said, maybe I'm not accounting for the home game or the fact that maybe Louisville comes out with a fire under their ass because they feel like they were slighted and they play pissed off, and maybe they say, you know what, we've got a vulnerable one seed, we're at home and we can go on a run. So as I'm sitting here speaking, I'm almost talking myself into Louisville, but I'll stay with Creighton.
Yep. Louisville's a 2.5 point favorite for those keeping track at home. Moving down the bracket, the 5v12 seed, everyone's favorite upset seeding and everyone's favorite upset game from all told. That's Michigan playing UC San Diego, the team that's won 30 games this year versus the Big Ten tournament champion. It seems like this San Diego team has really just kind of accomplished everything in front of them. I know the biggest stat is turnovers. They force a lot of them, and Michigan is prone to giving up a lot of them. That said, for me, I don't think this is an upset spot. Part of my dumb brain went, well, if everyone's going to pick this as an upset, that means it's not going to happen. I think Golden's going to have a field day with them. One of my strategies this year was looking at who these teams have played in the non-conference. UC San Diego has not played a Power Five school. They've only played one top 100 team in the country all year. And they don't have a player over 6 foot 8, and Michigan has two over 7 feet. Give me the Wolverines.
Yeah, I was gonna say this is interesting because both of these teams have a strength that counteracts different teams' weakness. San Diego forces the turnovers, Michigan gives them up like Halloween candy, and then you mentioned the height where we could post up some of these San Diego players, and obviously Golden and Danny Wolf are Titans. I think I do go back and forth here because Michigan did go on a very nice run and they show what they can be, but we also have seen what they cannot be. And maybe there's a little bit of fatigue. They play 4 games in 4 days. They turn around and it's like,
Thursday
uh-oh.
at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, Thursday, you have the short rest. You're going out to Colorado. Give me UC San Diego. We're
Okay.
we are now 2 for 2 in disagreeing on games you could realistically disagree in. I love it.
And I think we might be 3 for 3 because the 4v13 seed,
Oh no.
that's A&M versus Yale. I am enamored with this Yale team. I
Oh
watched them play
no.
Saturday night. They've got a white boy that can shoot the lights out. I don't know a lot of this about this Texas A&M team. They seem like a very good team that was in the mix in a good SEC all year. I kind of did this because I felt like I needed to have an upset in the fours or threes, and this is the most likely for me. Yale 2016, they did it, and then as recently as last year, they beat a very good Auburn team. This coach has done it. He's kind of built a wagon at Yale. They were the best team in the Ivy League conference all year, and they're going to be hungry for a Danny Wolf reunion game in the second round. Give me the Yale Bulldogs over the Aggies.
We are 3 for 3. I don't know enough about Texas A&M to really break them down, but I think that Yale being here last year and maybe using their luck and their 3-point making with that Greek kid, Poulakalakis or whatever his name is,
Yeah,
I don't think they can run this
good
one
player.
back. Give me Texas A&M.
The 11 seed in this bracket is the
It's Ole Miss against insert name here. We're going to figure that out, I think, tonight.
San Diego State of North Carolina. Chris Beard at Ole Miss kind of has built like a team that looks a lot like his Texas Tech teams that made a couple of decent runs. Seems like he's kind of figured it out after the whole Texas fiasco. I like them a lot. I've watched them a little more than A&M. They're kind of all these like 3 through 7 seed SEC teams I had a soft spot for because they were just the ones that didn't win as many of those tough games. That does not mean they're a bad team necessarily. So I lean and like the Rebels to actually go on a bit of a run and beat our Michigan State Spartans, but that's for next week's
Oh,
episode.
whoa.
With that said, I think North Carolina, just simply from the fact that everyone said you don't belong to be in, is going to somehow win not only tonight, not only the first round, but also have a shot at beating Iowa State in the second round as well. I'm sticking with Ole Miss, though.
So we finally agree. I'm going with Ole Miss here. I think this is going to become a theme for me where I'm going to maybe put a little bit too much belief and trust into guys I've seen do it before. But like you said, Chris Beard knows how to put teams in hell. He's gotten over the off-court issues at his previous job. The only thing I will mention that maybe can go against this Ole Miss team is teams that play in the play-in game show up, they've knocked the rust off, and they win.
And
Especially.
they're like, both of these teams are Power Five schools that aren't going to be
Yes.
intimidated by an
Yes.
Ole Miss squad.
It's like you said, especially in the 6-11 matchup. Like, so I'm pretty sure if I remember correctly, last year looking at some of the long term data, I'm pretty sure more 11s have beaten 6s over the last 5 6 years
Yeah,
than
it's like
others.
damn near 500.
So this ain't even really upset spot. This is just straight up coin flips. But I'm gonna go with the guy I know, Chris Beard. But you're right. Don't be shocked when UNC says up yours. You think we shouldn't be here? Watch this. RJ Davis and Elliot Cadeau are going to remind us why they were thought to be high-level basketball players at the beginning of the year. But Ole Miss.
Good. One we finally agree on.
I think we agree on the next one too. I've got Iowa State.
Iowa State, Liscombe. I don't have much. I don't know much about Liscombe. I haven't heard anything about them having any crazy good stats or anything to scare you. Iowa State I actually, if they weren't big banged up as much as they were, I think this is a team I would have probably have as far as my final four.
Oh.
They were a team that was a top four or five team in the country for a large portion of this year and kind of fell off due to injury. Whether they can su sustain that, I don't know. I don't see them having any issues with this come though.
I have a pretty similar thing where it's like the injury of Nelson definitely limits what they can do in the deeper parts of the tournament, i.e. the second weekend, and whether that's beating us or beating a struggling Auburn. But they're not going to be impacted here. They're just too talented for this team. And honestly, before we get to the next one, shout out to Iowa State for hiding this injury. Because, like,
They were hiding it.
well, they never told anybody. And then as soon as the selection show came out and they got made a three seed, suddenly the kid was out for the season. I think they just didn't say anything so they didn't get dropped in seeding.
Well, so they're actually like clear and not they make it clear that who's in and out as far as injury wise does matter in the committee's eyes. I forget who it was that they left out that they said it was a factor, and the kid had been out since December. So for wrong or right reasons, that's they do make it a factor, and so that's smart on their part, like you said.
Next game, Marquette, New Mexico. I don't love Marquette kind of stumbling into the tournament, but this is also going to become a running theme as we move down the board. I hate the Mountain West, so
Yep.
give me Marquette.
Yeah, I think they have the best player in that game too. They're going to be able to get buckets when they want. I think Marquette's sneaky because, like you said, actually statistic-wise, and I've done this in the past with brackets, is you look at the Michigans of the world that go on these runs in the last week. It was Illinois for me last year that I had going really far because they went on a run in the Big Ten tournament. And sometimes the teams that aren't playing the best basketball end up making their run. This is a Marquette team that was in the top 25 for most of the season. I think they'll win this one. Michigan State, the hometown team against Bryant. Everything I've heard, and Vegas, although it's an 18 and a half point spread, it is the smallest number of any of the two versus for 15
Oh
seeds.
no, don't set us up for another one.
If it was going to happen, this is the one team I said I didn't want as far as the 15 seeds. They're big, they play fast, and they play like a power five school. That's the scouting report. Now, can they do that against Michigan State, who's going to want to run and does it better than anybody else in the country and is going to be able to throw three different bigs at your big players? I don't know. I've also heard they're very big guards, and those are where their scores are, as are most teams. That could be a bit of a matchup problem for us with smaller guards.
Connor, stop it.
I think this is going to be similar to the Samford game, where you or we are going to be kind of going a little tinkle dinkle in our pants at halftime. And by about the 10-minute mark, you'll forget that you wet your pants at halftime. Give
Okay.
me the Spartans.
I agree. Give me MSU. I'm not going to say much more than that. Just flat out win the damn game. I don't want any more running jokes about Giddy Potts and Reggie Upshaw coming out at the trailer park to beat us.
In the second round, then sticking in the South, I have Auburn and Louisville. You have Auburn and Creighton. I don't see Auburn having any problems with either of these teams. The only thing like I said, would they be going in? They would be going into an away game essentially if they played Louisville. Again, though, I don't think that's much of a factor. Auburn moves on, and we get to talk about them next week.
I agree. Auburn to the Sweet 16.
You have UC San Diego
And
versus
A&M.
A&M, and I have Michigan versus Yale. I guess I'll go over my matchup first. Danny Wolf reunion game. He's going to go for 30. As much as it pains me to say it, I have Michigan making it to the second weekend.
Sure. I have UC San Diego and Texas A&M. I think the UC San Diego kind of Mirage is good against Michigan, where maybe they come out just gassed because of their schedule beforehand. But I think as soon as they have to kind of repeat their performance, it's going to be one of those one and done. Hey, thanks for the memories, but get out
Right.
of here so we can watch real teams in the Sweet 16. Give me Texas A&M to the Sweet 16.
Our next, we both have Ole Miss and Iowa State. I have Ole Miss. I think this is where the injuries get to Ohio State. It's kind of a tough blow having to play what I think is a very good sixth seed in Ole Miss this early in the tournament, but that's how it goes sometimes. And the injuries are going to have to catch up to them early. Maybe if they got a better matchup, this wouldn't be such a factor and they could get farther in it. I really had a hard time with this one because I actually am in love with both of these teams and think they both could beat Michigan State in the next game, but I have Ole Miss winning this.
I have Iowa State, where I think as a team, they're still too much for Ole Miss, even though the second leading scorer, Nelson, is no longer there. But that'll probably be as far as I can comfortably take Iowa State. But we'll see next week and after watching some of these games. Give me Iowa State to the Sweet 16.
And finally, Marquette versus Michigan State for both of us, a rematch of 2 years ago. 2 years ago,
Yes.
makes sense. Round of 32 game, only the seeds are flipped this time. Shaka versus Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo's kind of had the number so far. I think Marquette's going to come out hungry. It's not going to be far for them. It's kind of a home game for both of these teams. I mean, it's definitely closer for Michigan State, but I'm talking about a couple hours at this point. I like this to be another game just like it was 2 years ago, down to the wire. And unfortunately, this is where I think Marquette poses a bit of a matchup issue with Michigan State, but I have the Spartans making it to the second weekend.
As do I.
And that's the South. You want to move to the West? We'll go down.
All right, let's do it.
Florida versus Norfolk State. Florida's the
Florida.
hottest team in America. They look like the best team in the country. They dominated the SEC tournament this past weekend. Great guard play, have a bunch of big white guys that can shoot and play down low. I like love them. I have a soft spot for the game. I just love that logo in general, as lame as that is. So I always kind of got a soft spot for them. And is this Golden's first season there?
I have no idea.
Okay. I didn't know if he was a first year. Their best player, that guard, is an Iona transfer who played for Pete Pitino. Okay, Florida moves on. I'll just cut it
Yeah,
there.
I'm just gonna say Florida as well. I don't think there's really a lot to talk about in the 16 ones this particular year, just because these ones seem different.
Yeah. And then a great 8v9 game, UConn versus Oklahoma. Danny Hurley, Jeremiah Fears. Oklahoma has been playing good basketball to end the season. UConn has been all over the map, and they're just, I think, not that good of a team. They just have Danny Hurley, I guess. I went pretty simple in my logic. I don't think either of these teams have a chance of beating Florida in the next round. So take low stakes and bet on the guy that's done it the last 2 years. So I have UConn.
I agree. This is once again kind of like I'm gonna bet on the guy I know, Dan Hurley. I guess the only thing with Oklahoma is they probably have the best player in Jeremiah Fears.
Yeah.
What's with Tom Izzo and getting the worst brother? He got the
I
worst
know.
Bowser, he's got the worst Fears.
I know.
What's up with that? But give
Worst
me.
lawyer.
Oh yeah. Oh boy. You almost forget that those guys are related because of how bad
Yeah.
Foster was.
Yeah.
Just give me Danny Lunatic. I'm gonna yell at the National Player of the Year and the national title game at mid-court early.
The 5v12 matchup. And perhaps the biggest head scratcher in Vegas is the two
Not a
and a
head
half
scratcher.
point favorite, Colorado State, as a 12 seed against Memphis. Memphis, if you remember, beat Michigan State way back when in November and has stayed in the top 25 the whole season. This Colorado State team is red hot. I know they're a Mountain West school, which you don't like. They kind of ran through that Midwest tournament this year. I have them over a Memphis team. I know Memphis has got some injuries kind of down the stretch with some of their role players. PJ Haggerty has not kind of been the same player as of late. And this is the easy, everyone's picking it, but I was a sucker and took Colorado State.
Yeah, this to me is going to turn into the McNeese state of last year, where, like you say, everyone thinks it's going to happen, which means it won't happen.
Yeah.
But this also then brings me all the way back. If you remember the Ja Morant Murray State team that was favored over Wisconsin as a 12 seed and then just dummied them.
Yeah.
So it's like, does it go all the way back to there? But Because it's a Mountain West school, even without Tyrese Hunter, I have to stick to my beliefs. I'm sure I'll get some of them wrong just because I can't always be right, but give me Memphis because the Mountain West sucks.
The 4v13 matchup, Maryland versus Grand Canyon. We're going to talk about some bit. I guess I kind of went against the grain because I was going to say how I don't trust Michigan, and I'm going to talk about some other Big Ten teams I really don't trust. Maryland is not in that group. I think they're a very good team. They're led by Derrick Queen. They have good guard play. I actually think they can make a run, and they could potentially beat the floor, propose Florida's biggest threat in this bracket. They're going to beat Grand Canyon, who is a very good team and a very tough matchup. This is a team that can shoot the lights out. They actually are Bryant, who Michigan State's playing. They're one of Bryant's two games against top 100 teams, and they beat them by 50 and scored 115 points. They're going to be able to shoot. I just think they haven't seen Maryland, and they don't have anybody for Derrick Queen.
I agree. I kind of wrote it up as last year Grand Canyon was able to pull off the upset similar to the Yale. I don't think they can recapture that magic. Give me Maryland.
I think they were a slightly higher seed last year too, if I'm
Yes.
not mistaken.
I thought they
So
were a 12 last year,
I
actually.
thought they were a 10 for some reason. Am I just tripping on
You
that?
might be thinking of Drake last year, who was a 10,
Maybe.
but didn't get it done. But I've got
Speaking of
Maryland.
Drake,
Yeah.
the 6v11
I
matchup,
didn't know that that
Drake
was that
versus
good of a
Drake.
lead-in.
This is Drake, one of Drake. This is one of the most talked about teams, non-Power Five, I think. Just from a general standpoint, everyone knew they were going to be this highly seeded as a non-Power Five. I believe they're another team with 30 wins that has just done it all year and has played non-conference teams in the Power Five very, very tough all season. That includes wins against Miami and who is hardly a top Power Five team though. They're going to play another team in that 4 to 7 range in the SEC that I just love and think can actually make a run. It's just another team that lost more of the big games than not. And I think this is a tough matchup for both teams because Missouri likes to score. That head coach has kind of been his MO. They like to chuck them. And Drake is going to play at a snail's pace. When that kind of happens, and it's a little different. We're going to get into St. Mary's, who's the other team that like in the tournament that kind of likes to play like that. That's a little different than a Drake trying to do it against SEC competition. And so I just think Missouri, when it all comes down to it, is going to be able to speed Drake up more than Drake's going to be able to slow Missouri down. So I have Missouri winning this one.
I agree with you where I think this Drake team is going to be once again the darlings. Everyone's on them. Everyone's on them. And then suddenly they've lost to Washington State. And you're like, well, how did this happen? This wasn't supposed to happen. Give me Mizzou.
Texas Tech, UNC Wilmington. I'll admit I know nothing about UNC Wilmington. I like this Texas Tech team a lot. They have some good Big 12 wins down
They're
the
getting their
stretch,
players back too.
and they're coming back healthy. I say a lot, and I think that Missouri Texas Tech is one of the more tougher second round matchups that I'm going to have. We'll get to it in a second. I have Texas Tech easily.
I actually don't. I think maybe I'm higher on Texas Tech than you are, but I have Texas Tech going to the Elite Eight. Give me Texas Tech versus Wilmington.
Kansas, and now we get into what Vladdy talked about, the
The
plot
Godfather
of
Bowl.
Godfather Bowl. Kansas, their worst seed since 2000 in the seven seed, and Arkansas in John Calipari's rookie year makes the tournament as a 10 seed. I actually don't know a ton about this Arkansas team. I know they've got a ton of talent. I think they are a little banged up with injury too, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm pretty sure I heard they get their best player back, though.
Okay, so he's going to come back. I actually don't think this Kansas team is as bad as people say. They're a weird one to me because when you're that inconsistent the whole year and that's kind of your MO, it's hard to pick you in March because they have the talent to make an Elite Eight and they have the talent to lose to Arkansas by 20. I have Kansas being slightly more talented and slightly more consistent getting this done and Calipari in the tournament. Just remember that. It doesn't matter where he's coaching.
Yeah, I actually labeled this as a total coin flip, so I'm just going to take your analysis as my own and Give me Kansas into the next round to meet the St. Johnny or the St. John's Johnnies, and in the Godfather Bowl number two, because let's be real, St. John's is going to kick the shit out of Omaha.
Yeah, sorry. Do you want to just get into
I
that
kind of
then?
went out of order. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you started from the top, so I was like, I was trying to find where we were going to go next. Round of 32, do you want to just start with that then?
Yeah, sorry. I torpedoed this. My apologies.
No, that's all right. Kansas and St. John's, we both have. I think we're, I have a future for to win a lot of money on the Johnnies. I know they are kind of the analytical devil, but the eye test, they have guys that are coming into form after being a bad shooting team all year that are now shooting well. They play very good defense. They have a coach that has been there, unlike a lot of schools. They're old, they're veteran, they're big, and they find ways to win. That's I watched a couple of their games in the Big East tournament, and they just feel like a squad that can win. This is a tough matchup for them very early on. I like them just from a fact of I think they're just way more disciplined and they'll frustrate the hell out of Hunter Dickinson. Give me the Johnnies to move on to the second weekend.
Completely agree with that, especially that last part where I think that they're a team and Kansas is a group of players, and you're just going to see the difference in unity. And as soon as things are going to go poorly for Kansas, I think they throw their arms in the air and play victim and start pointing fingers, and I think St. John's wins.
Missouri, Texas Tech, we both have. I have Missouri winning this. I had this as a coin flip. I kind of want to hear your analysis because I think you disagree with me. And I love this Texas Tech team. I'm in love with the way this Missouri team can score. So I think it can kind of go one of two ways. But talk me into Texas Tech.
They get McMillan and Williams back, who missed a lot of time down the stretch and kind of con not maybe not contributed, but didn't contribute in their losses. And I think that Texas Tech probably could have and should have been that final two seed as opposed to St. John's
I
had those
agree.
players not been hurt and they won one or two extra games. At the end of the day, it doesn't change much because maybe you flip those two seeds, they end up playing each other in the Sweet
Each other.
16 anyway. But give me Texas Tech going to the Sweet 16.
And then we would have, I have Colorado State in Maryland. I think you do too. Did you
I
say
have
Maryland?
Memphis in
Yeah.
Maryland.
I think this is Colorado State. Mountain West can't have good things for too long. I'm very high on Maryland. I think they actually win this handily.
So maybe this is going to be me being scarred over the last couple of years of poor performances, but I think you fade the Big Ten going into the later rounds. And I'm going to have Memphis into the Sweet 16, which is
Wow.
ridiculous because they're not even favored in their first round matchup against a 12 seed.
Wow. It's crazy that to have a five seed to go to the Sweet 16 is like
And we're sitting here talking about like this is some like
sucks.
just out
Yeah.
of box thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the last game, Florida, UConn for both of us. I just like this UConn team. When you're this inconsistent all year, maybe you're just not that good. And as much as I keep saying fade super hot teams, this Florida team's a little on a little different level for me. I think they get it done. I actually don't think this is going to be. We're gonna. I actually think the next two one seeds have harder matchups than this in the second round.
I agree. I think if this was an Auburn that's reeling, maybe you could try and build a case for, oh, well, Hurley's got the history and whatnot, and Auburn has the history of losing and whatnot. But no, get this Florida team red hot, deep, tall, athletic, just Florida to the Sweet 16.
Moving to the east, the one seed Duke will play the a winner of American and Mount St. Mary's. The win.
Yeah, Duke. Yeah,
Okay, Mississippi State Baylor is the 8 versus 9 seed. I took Mississippi State solely on a law of averages that they were in this game against Michigan State last year and lost, so they'll have to have a better performance. I know nothing about either of these teams. It seems like Baylor has kind of had a whirlwind of the year, and they've been kind of a disappointment from the start, basically. And the when in doubt, pick the SEC is my strategy. So Mississippi
I'm
State.
gonna stick with what I said earlier. Give me the guy that I know what he's done before. Give me Scott Drew. He's a national
Fair.
champion. Can't say that about whoever Mississippi State's head coach is. So give me Baylor.
Okay. I can't argue with that.
They
Five.
got VJ Edgecombe, Mr. Top 5, maybe top 10 pick.
Right. Speaking of great players with a bad hairline, Oregon versus Liberty. This is the 5v12 seed that I think everyone, there's no like talk over. And I feel like 5v12 is the most trendy upset to pick in March Madness, and yet there's absolutely no discussion on them. I've heard this Liberty team just like isn't that good. I think Oregon's playing their best basketball right now. They played a very good Michigan State team and played them pretty tough. Other than that, I think they've won six of their last seven going into that
Yes.
game. So, give me Oregon. I
Pretty
actually
sure
like
Oregon's
Oregon. I want
last
a
two
bit of a
losses.
run.
I'm sorry to, I apologize. I didn't know you were done, but I'm pretty sure both of Oregon's last two losses are to us.
Yeah, that's correct.
So you're right. They're playing good basketball. Maybe they're not quite that top 15 team that we saw in November and December based on a little number by their name, but they're playing good basketball. Dana Altman kind of throws a multitude of different defenses at you in the tournament. He typically doesn't lose in the first round. So give me
He's
Oregon.
also he's kind of been built out a little like edge for going on little runs with relatively high seeded teams.
Yes.
Arizona versus Akron. Akron's actually a pretty good team from everything I saw. I watched that MAC championship on Saturday. Awesome. They were down by 22 points and came back and won it. Arizona, after a tumultuous year of being up and down, where Caleb Love has shot him out of a lot of games this year, and he's also won them some games. They look like they're playing their best basketball towards the end of the year. I know they kind of got beat up by Houston in the Big 12 championship, but this is a very good Houston team. This is a bad matchup for Akron, though. Both these teams want to run, they want to score. Arizona just has the simply better athletes at running and scoring. They'll win this one easily, actually.
I agree.
BYU and VCU. That's a lot of sorry. This is an interesting game for me. I'm high on both of these teams. VCU, you're shaking your head at me, but VCU is gonna another team that wants to slow it down and plays really good defense. BYU just chucks up threes. I think BYU is a team that could go on a little bit of a run here. Give me BYU.
Oh, wow. So I wasn't planning on shaking my head at you, but now I am. And once again, this is where maybe I get burned. Even though they're not in the Mountain West anymore, their spirit is still in the Mountain West, and we
Okay.
hate the Mountain West. So give me VCU.
All right. Wisconsin and Montana. I've heard nothing about Montana. Wisconsin is, other than Michigan State and Maryland, the last Big Ten team I am very high on. So give me Wisconsin big.
So this is, I'm going to preface this by not making this my final pick, but if you put a gun to my head and told me you have to pick a three seed to lose, Wisconsin would be one of the two teams I would pick.
Really?
They do the little things right. You take care of the ball. They're the best free throw shooting team in America. But their play style of jack up threes and ride the John Tonje train to it's good or bad scares me in that if it goes wrong, it goes wrong.
And you saw
Now,
it against Michigan. Like, I'm not going to be too critical of that because it was their fourth game in 4 days, but
sure.
still, it was Michigan's too.
Again, I'm just saying that he gives me the Caleb Love, RJ Davis vibes where he can go for 25 plus points or he can go for 25 plus missed shots on any given night. So, again, if you had a gun to my head and said you have to pick one, I consider Wisconsin as opposed to an Iowa State or, we haven't talked about the last one, which is the other one I'd pick, but why am I already blanking on the,
Kentucky.
oh, Texas Tech. Yeah. Texas Tech and Iowa State, I think, are too good. Kentucky's the second one that I would consider picking just because they're hurt, but give me Wisconsin here. You're right. I think at this point, they're too much for this Montana team that nobody's ever heard of.
Yep. St. Mary's Vanderbilt in the 7 versus 10 seed game. Weird season for the Gales. They've spent most of it in the top 25. They beat Gonzaga twice, and then got absolutely pummeled by them when it mattered in the conference tournament. They obviously play their style of basketball where they don't like to score and it's very boring to watch and I hate it. And Vanderbilt actually likes to run. I've kind of been high on this Vanderbilt team. They have a couple of nice wins. They beat Alabama, or not Alabama, they beat Kentucky by a lot. AJ Hogard runs the point. We're all too familiar with him. I like Vanderbilt to win this game. I just think they're much more, it's SEC when in doubt, they're much more battle tested than a team that really has only played Gonzaga all season.
I'm gonna pick St. Mary's. I don't love my pick, however, and but I don't love Vanderbilt. I don't love AJ Hogard. I wish there was a way we could like give both all these players just anabolic steroids and then test them, and they just have to forfeit the game. And Alabama versus Robert Morris, the winner of that just gets an auto move to the Sweet 16. Because I don't like both of these teams. You're right. Watching St. Mary's play basketball, you'd rather gouge your eyes out with a hot spoon. It's disgusting. We cannot root for AJ Hogard, so I don't know what to do. I'm gonna catch 22. Just give me St. Mary's for the laughs, I guess.
And I got Alabama pretty quickly.
So I think everyone does.
Okay, first game. I have Duke and Mississippi State. You have Duke and Baylor.
Duke.
I don't think either of these teams pose too much of a threat.
Duke.
It seems like Duke will have Cooper Flagg back by this game. I think he's even going to play the first game. I wouldn't even play him the first game personally.
I agree.
I think he comes back here and he's ready to go, and he's ready for his one tournament to make his moment, give me them to move on. Oregon and Arizona for both of us. Fun little game. I'm actually going to take Oregon. I trust them more. I think Arizona is more likely to be able to blow out this Oregon team. But I think Nathan Biddle down low, and just kind of the way Oregon, like you said, Altman likes to go in the tournament and plays different defensive looks. Can Caleb Love, in a game where they're going to have to score against Akron, can he do it 2 days, in 2 games in 2 days? I think not. Oregon moves on.
I'm actually going to take Arizona. I think the ceiling's higher. The floor might be lower, but
I
at that
agree.
point, when you have a four and a five, give me the ceiling and I'll bet on that.
My dumb, if it came down the line, theory was Arizona is always a disappointment in the tournament.
They
Oregon
are.
is usually a bit of a surprise.
That's also valid. If I'm going to use historical measures against the Mountain West, I should consider that as well. But I think I have to stay with Arizona.
Next game, you have VCU in Wisconsin, and I have
Yes.
BYU in Wisconsin. I'll go over my matchup. My matchup is just going to be 3-point city. They're both going to shoot 33s in this game. The best player on the floor is on Wisconsin. Even though he's a 6-year senior, Wisconsin gets it done and moves on to the next weekend.
I agree with that, except mine's against VCU, not against BYU. I know I said that, oh my God, that I could see them losing to Montana. I meant it as a, if I had to pick one, I would, just because
Sure.
I think the play style, when it goes wrong, it can go wrong.
Yeah. And then you have St. Mary's in Alabama. I have Vanderbilt in Alabama. Alabama beat Vanderbilt pretty badly the first time. Maybe the only thing going for them is that they've already played them and it's hard to beat any team more than once. I don't think that's the case. Alabama moves on to the second weekend. And our final bracket, the Midwest, highlighted by Houston and SIUE.
Suey.
Sorry, Sui. It's the Cougars moving on.
I guess Juwan Roberts might not be 100%, but Juwan Roberts could be 0%. He could watch the game with us on TV, sitting in a bar somewhere. They'd still kick the shit out of a 16 school. So.
Yeah. One of the probably the most intriguing 8-9 matchup for me. I know a lot of people have Gonzaga. Gonzaga is a weird team this year. They lost twice to St. Mary's. They had a couple of really nice non-conference wins. I think they beat Kentucky. And then they came in at the end of the season and got, they had a couple of conference losses besides St. Mary's, which is really rare for them. And they can't kind of came in at the end and got it done, beat St. Mary's, won their conference. They're like 13th in the net, yet they're an 8 seed. And Georgia's a team that no one really talks about because they're
Georgia.
whatever, we're at 11. Yeah, Georgia, it's their first tournament appearance, I think, in like 7 or 8 years. I have Gonzaga because I think they're a sneaky team and they haven't made not made it to the Sweet 16 in, I think, 5 or 6 years now. 9 years. There
Nine
you go.
straight Sweet 16s.
So I think they'll at least have a shot at that at this round. Give me Gonzaga.
I agree, kind of same thing I've said a couple times. Give me the guy who I know what I'm going to get from. It's Mark Few and this Gonzaga team, which are perennial Sweet 16ers. They're perennial players at kind of the tournament level versus a perennial loser in Georgia, where I think you mentioned 5, 6. I'm pretty sure Georgia's last appearance I heard was 2015, where Michigan State beat them in the tournament, and Georgia has not won a tournament game since 2002.
Wow. Clemson versus McNeese is the 5v12 game. This game will get talked about because McNeese is another fun meme storyline with the student manager stuff and the way that they've kind of their season's gone again, and they're even a higher seed this year. They're very good again this year. There's a reason why they're a higher seed this year. I say what you want against the ACC. If there's one team that can go on a little bit of a run, it's the team that's beaten Duke, and this team did it last year with a lot of the same group. I think Clemson could make a run here. I like them over this in this game at least.
I'm glad we're on the same page here. The McNeese State team was everyone's favorite darling last year. It was, oh my God, McNeese. And you couldn't have a conversation with one of your friends without someone bringing up, dude, McNeese is a sneaky sleeper. It's like, well, they're not sneaky if everyone knows about them. And they lost by 35. So let's talk, let's bring it down a little. I agree with what you say. This Clemson team has done it. They're mostly the same. They're very fundamentally sound. And I think that because the ACC is as bad as it was, they fall under the radar, even though, as I mentioned, they're an AP top 10 team. But you see a 5 seed next to them, you think, well, what the fuck is this? They're not very good. Give me Clemson.
Purdue and High Point. I talked about my Big Ten teams I'm really high on. Purdue is outside of that to the extreme. If they don't shoot a lick, they're not even a tournament team, in my opinion. That's how little I think of them. Kauffman Wren down the stretch has not been very good. They really rely on their guards, specifically Braylon Allen.
Braylon Allen.
What's his name?
Braden Smith.
Oh, Braden Smith. Well, who is Braylon Allen? Where did I get that?
He's a running back for the New York Jets.
Yeah, wow, way off. Anyways, this High Point team is talked about. I'm not sure how good they are. This was a low stakes. I don't think Purdue gets by Clemson in the next round, so I took High Point in this.
Oh. I mean, Purdue does have the perennial DNA of a sucker in this tournament, but they do also have the Big Ten player of the year. I'm going to go with Purdue.
Illinois 6 seed versus the winner of Texas and Xavier. I'm gonna take the apolitical answer and say one of Texas and Xavier is gonna win. Again, going on my list of teams I don't trust in the Big Ten, Illinois falls right in the center of that. They have some talented freshmen. I think everyone's kind of been saying, well, we don't know what they are. We don't know what they are. At the end of the day, we do know what they are. They're a team that
Yes.
hasn't won tough games. Both games against Michigan State, neutral court against Duke, they got embarrassed. Xavier's one of the hottest teams in the country. They've had to play their way in for the last month. I think if I had to guess, it's going to be Xavier, and it's going to be Xavier moving on, but it's going to be one of the 11 seeds over on.
So I have kind of a similar thought where the talent is top notch, but the floor and Brad Underwood's history of choking when the snow melts, the Illini melt. There's going to be the rest versus rust. This is a tough pick for me. I guess I'll just preface this where I think any one of these four teams in this little pod can make a Sweet 16.
Yeah.
I don't. Screw it. Give me the 11 seed. I don't even care who it is.
Three seed Kentucky, 14 seed Troy. If I didn't hear such bad things about this Troy team, I would have this as an upset. There's a part of me that thinks the curse is gone now that Cal's gone, and they are a solid team that's played, the top of the big SEC and has seen it all year. I don't think it'll get to them this round, but unfortunately, I don't see a run out of them because of all the injuries.
Yeah, I mean, this is the second 3 seed where if you put a gun to my head, I could pick them to lose just based on health. Jackson Robinson out. Lamont Butler is playing, quote unquote, but that doesn't mean he's 100%. You also have the ghost of Kentucky's past where the last 2 times they've been a 3 seed, they've lost to OU and to St. Peter's 2 years before that. So they're now granted, Cal, like you said, Cal's not here and this is not the team full of 18-year-olds. So maybe they're not going to get bullied physically by these older, kind of more mentally and physically developed teams. Give me Kentucky.
Okay. I like it too. The next squad, UCLA, Utah State. Weird year for UCLA. Mick Cronin, they went on a losing streak. He said, complained about everything in the Big Ten. He complained about his team itself. And then they actually had a relatively nice end of the season, all things told. Didn't have a great performance in the Big Ten tournament against Wisconsin, but whatever. Utah State, they're kind of the kings of this 7v10 matchup. I feel like they're in it every year. I faded the Mountain West for you. I don't think this UCLA team is that bad. I think they're talented enough to where they won't get upset, and they will be a tough game for Tennessee in the next round. Give me
Yeah.
UCLA.
On this podcast, we fade the Mountain West. Give me the Bruins.
And I don't want to say much. I have Tennessee over Wofford. I think Tennessee is a very good team.
Tennessee's incredible. Give me Tennessee.
In the second round, one Houston, eight Gonzaga. I had so much trouble with this because I didn't want this to be Houston's year. This team seems different. They seem like they can shoot. They seem like they got, this is their year, that they are just a step better than they have been the last couple years. But this is a really tough matchup against the Gonzaga team that won't be fazed by the moment. I do think they end up winning this game, though, because I just don't think this Gonzaga team has two wins against two Power Five teams in a minute weekend.
Yeah, this is not a Gonzaga of years past with quote unquote NBA players and whatnot. Give me Houston, and Houston's actually, I'll give you a little spoiler pick. Houston's my team to win the national title. They score better than any of the Houston teams of years past, and they defend just as well as those Houston teams. So I think they finally put it all together and put up a banner.
The next round, I have Clemson and High Point. You have Clemson and Purdue. Percentage wise, can't have a High Point team I don't trust in the Sweet 16. I said I think Clemson can go on a run. I actually think Houston, like you said, is the very good team and has kind of been slept on as that third versus fourth, third or fourth best team all year. And they have a ridiculously tough path here with Gonzaga, and then I think a tough Clemson team that
Oh.
I'm going to argue is the best number two seed right now in Tennessee. But I like, in terms of this game, Clemson moves on to the next weekend.
Completely agree. Not much more to say there for me.
This is probably my biggest second round upset in the next one. I have Xavier going to the Sweet 16 over Kentucky. I don't see Kentucky making that deep of a run. I think Xavier's the hottest, one of the hottest teams in the country.
What do you
Percentage wise, a team I don't see going that far, they'll win.
Going to do if Xavier loses to Texas tomorrow night?
Well, it's a good thing it says Texas slash Xavier on the apps, so.
I don't hate the pick. I love the bold trendiness. I've kind of been throwing up chalk here with minimal upsets, and I'm going to stay that way. I just think this Kentucky team is a team. I think, like I mentioned before, this is not the Calipari team of guys who still have acne on their face because they just turned 18. This is a team that can compete, and if they get healthier, I don't know what healthier necessarily means if Jackson Robinson has already been kind of ruled out for the whole tournament, but if, Lamont Butler gets to 95% versus 85%, I think that they become a tougher out, and I see the Kentucky Wildcats in the Sweet 16.
And the final game, UCLA Tennessee. I'll give you a hint. I have Tennessee as one of my final four teams. They're going to beat UCLA. This is going to be a very tough matchup, I think, though.
I respect the kind of the Tennessee pull. I agree that they're going to beat this UCLA team because I think they're just flat out better than them in probably every regard or every facet of basketball. So give me the Volunteers, Rick Barnes.
And do you want to, we'll say our final fours and then
Sure.
we can redo them again on the podcast next weekend.
Yes.
This is the year of chalk. I try to have at least one or two in my final four every year. I couldn't do it. I have 3-1 seeds in Tennessee. I have Auburn versus Florida and then Duke versus Tennessee. And I have Auburn versus Duke with Duke winning it all this year.
Yeah, so if you want chalk, give me one second just to kind of make sure I remember correctly. But if you want chalk, I have Auburn coming out of the South. I have Duke coming out of the East. I have my national champion out of the Midwest, Houston, and I have Florida out of the West. And
All four ones?
oh yeah, I don't know how to pick against these guys. Like, you're right, Tennessee is probably the hottest two seed, the best two seed overall, but I can't, they got to play my national champion, which means they can't
Yeah.
make
Yeah,
it.
true.
So I agree with you. It's only happened once before, so technically speaking, maybe I'm not chalk. If I'm sitting here going against the grain that I think it will happen, it's not chalk. But in the title game, give me Houston and Auburn. I think maybe the Florida run of pixie dust magic will end with a kind of a rematch against an Auburn team that is kind of rejuvenated and maybe refreshed a little bit from kind of the end of the grueling regular season kind of just schedule. Give me the Houston Cougars winning a national championship with Calvin Sampson and completing their little prophecy of this is a maniacally good team.
Yeah, the prophecy of we've been a one or two every year for the last 5 years and don't even have a Final Four to show for it.
Weren't they in the Final Four last year?
Were they?
I thought so.
I don't even remember who's it's obviously UConn, Purdue, and NC State, and who's were they the fourth team there?
I have no idea that maybe it wasn't.
It very well could be. I just named you three. I can't think of the fourth.
One second. Oh, no, Alabama was in the Final Four.
Right.
Interesting. You're right,
Yeah.
because in the year before that, it was the boring UConn, San Diego State, Miami, FAU. So, yeah, you know what? Maybe Houston are the perennial losers, but I'm going to pick them to buck that trend and score some points.
Love it. And obviously, Spartans will.
If you made it this far, thank you very much. If you think our picks are stupid, screw you. That's what I have to say to you. My picks are great. I have the elitist of the elite picks. And I
I just gave
will
a perfect
lead us
bracket.
off with a go green.
But what?